Well, David and Lynette Tobin are great friends of Andrew and I, and in fact, we like to think that we partner with them in ministry. And they've always helped us out when we've had a bit of a spot, and they've been wonderful to us as a family. And Lynette was the state director for the apostolic movement around our nation, and also a fantastic pastor in her own right, used to run her own church not far from here, but is now an itinerant minister. And it's a blessing that she lives not far away from us, and we're blessed to have her this morning. I would like us to stand to our feet and welcome one of the great ladies of the faith, Lynette Tobin. There's your mic there. Now, just before we get started,
yep.
And I know you're going to preach a cracker message, that's just the, you know, but we've got a box outside,
yep.
Regarding the saris. Now, $12, let's just go the $12.
Yep.
$12, we can feed people when you go, and how does it work?
What happens is we buy the saris for $10, but you must remember $10 is nothing for us, but that's actually 500 rupees. These widows, where are they going to get 500 rupees from? Have you ever been in these countries, whatever they are, it's amazing. They might have one outfit, but they always look better dressed than us, have you noticed?
Yes.
They're always neat and tidy and all that, and they really look after it. A sari is an honour. I never realised when God spoke to me so much, it is an honour. And we do give saris, and the $10 saris are $500. We actually buy $14 saris, and we get them for $10. And also with that, when we're handing out the saris, we feed them. Just in 2 days, we fed 2,000 women. So you can imagine, so I've upped it from $10 to $12 to be able to cover the food. But isn't that incredible? But you know what the whole thing about these saris is, you know, what is it about a sari? Honour is value. Do you know how important women is to be valued? That they know that the women of Australia, and I tell you, the women of Australia and the men as well, they're the ones that are giving it. And I just say to them, these saris come from Australia. These saris are given by these people. But you know, most of all, when you have a bad day, which is most days, every moment mostly, I tell you what, they look at their saris and they say, God loves you. And we move in and, you know, a lot of them, I hand out to Muslims in their black costumes and everything. But it's incredible that behind, I don't actually go there to bring them to God so much, but to show them the love of God. But you know what happens after when we go, the pastors move in and many, many are coming to know Jesus Christ. Amen. But to be valued, women, to be valued.
So we've got a box outside.
Yep.
And the idea is we put... if we can afford $10, we do that. That's a sari.
Yes, that's
a
sari.
But we could do double or triple, or we could buy lots.
Absolutely.
So how many do you want to send back when you go next? How many saris would you like to take?
I'm actually going in 4 weeks' time, but I'm actually not giving out saris then, but just to go and see the manufacturers and all that kind of stuff to work behind the scenes. But we are believing to giving out 1,500 saris this year. We've actually given out 3,500 saris in just over 3.5 years. Is that amazing? That's a lot of money.
So $10 a sari, $12 including the feeding program, when you give out the saris.
Yep.
Can we get involved in this, guys? We can all. It's like a hamburger, isn't it, these days for us? let's do our best to put $12 into the box. It's next to the information desk on our way out. Don't forget, encourage one another. Let's be a part of this ministry, and that'd be awesome.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for coming.
Thank you.
And I'm looking forward to hearing you.
Thank
I'm
you.
Going to get off now.
Thank you. You may be seated. I love Nigel and Andrea. You know, I don't think you have any idea, but living this life we are, there's been times when things have been pretty hard and pretty tough. And you know, Nigel just turns up. I remember the day that my bag and everything got stolen and we had nothing at home. He just lands up. You know, isn't that incredible? Not just with empty hands, but always with a full hand. Praise God. So Mother's Day, I tell you what, women never give up. You know why? I've been married 46 years in June, and I got 3 bouquets of flowers this morning from my husband. I was so shocked. I couldn't speak. And one of them was tulips. But I did hear him say in the bedroom to himself, gee, that cost me a lot of money. He couldn't help himself. Mother's Day. Have you ever wondered what a job description would read for a parent? Because, you know, mothers, it's all about parenting, isn't it? It's not just the one of us. You know, what would the qualifications be? I'm going to see, young people, if you're ready to have these qualifications, okay? So you've got to think about this before you have children. There's actually no degrees needed. Grades not taken into consideration. No previous experience needed. But it does help. It is good if you are a bit deaf or a bit dim-sighted. That would be good. Salary, not negotiable. Your banks, always in debit or credit. It amazes me, you know, that we have our hands in our pockets all the time. Isn't that right, parents? We're always handing out. But I tell you what, if we rattle their money box, they give us the evil eye like you're a robber. I bet you some of you have borrowed from money boxes. I have. And the most essential thing here is to have kids. You've got to be available 24 hours a day. Hey, young people, you ready for all that? 7 days a week, especially mum. It's a commitment for a lifetime. You've got to love unconditionally. You've got to be able to train someone, despite their age, starting from one who knows much better than you. See, I want my children to have all the things I can't afford, and then I'm going to move in with them. It's necessary, but not essential, to be Jack and Jill of all trades and master of none. Hopefully, they won't notice that you're master of none. It's necessary to be able to ride the storms of life and not be drowned. And this is the big part. Do all this, mums, women, and stay happily married. I mean, it's not an easy feat. Come on. You be a referee between mum and kids, dad and kids, siblings, and come out unscathed and not wearing the blame, which is some big feat because mums wear the blame. Qualities, you've got to be strong. You've got to be a woman of authority. You've got to be gentle. You've got to be soft. You've got to be hard. You've got to be fair. You've got to have a hide of a rhinoceros. A mind like Sherlock Holmes. Not know the word tired. Or what about me? Or quiet time. You've got to have brain of encyclopedia. All the mums are smiling. Knowledge of all aspects of life, or pretend you do. You've got to be very flexible, you've got to be neutral, and you've still got to be fair. And you know what the biggest thing I've found? I haven't found the answer to this. I didn't know that when I had two children that I actually would have three children in my house. Because the other child was that unseen child. Anyone got an unseen child in the house? It wasn't me. It wasn't me. Who was it, parents? Who was that other child? Hobbies. My hobby will do as long as it can be interrupted and put off any time, any moment, anywhere to be a parent. And the other thing that interests me, when children come home, and I'm talking about now they're married or they're older or they're young, it always interests me. Have you noticed this? The first thing they do, they say, hello, mom, hello, dad, and they go straight to the fridge. Am I right? No matter what age. And it interests me, they look in the fridge like this. And then they say, there's no food. There's nothing nice to eat. And I look at them because they're looking at me. It's like as if I've been doing nothing but chomping all day. And I've eaten all the food in the fridge. But I tell you what, if only the children knew that the food that you had to hide. Anybody hidden food here? Come on. I still hide it from somebody. Application closing date, immediate. Job is so popular, some people apply up to for 10 times. You know what? Child says mummy, daddy. Child says mum and dad. I love you, mummy. I love you, daddy. I love you, mum. I love you, dad. And it's all worth it. Happy Mother's Day, people. Praise God. As parents, because Mother's Day is about women, celebrating women, and it's also celebrating parenthood. It's celebrating families, wouldn't you agree? Who knows, it takes a lot of wisdom to be a parent. Whether children are little or big, I tell you people, I've come to tell you this morning, it takes a lot of wisdom. It takes a lot of wisdom to know what to say and what to do. Would you agree with me? You know, our words as parents, as family, and I'm not just talking about people who've got their own children, but people that do so much in the lives of other children, amen? I tell you what I love about this church. Ever since I've been coming here all these years, what I notice is that you honor children. The children's program is always incredible. The children's program is always amazing, you know? It's incredible that this church honors children. So I'm talking about that too. But you know, our words have effect on children or other people that we deal with of any age. True? You know, you get so much help for parents now. I know you younger parents think you don't, but I've come to tell you that you get so much help for younger parents now. You really, really do. I tell you, when we were older, or the older ones, I can remember when you feed the child. I mean, that nurse, she told us that you had to feed the baby 4 hours, even but scream for 2 hours. You only fed that baby every 2 hours. I know older mums are here. And I tell you what, if a man changed a nappy, well, you canonized him. Because it just didn't happen in those days. Am I right, older mothers? It's amazing the power that is in words. You know, our words are containers. Do you know that? Our words are containers. They bring life and death. And often we think that's only out in the world or out in church. But I tell you what, in our own families, our words can be life or death to the family. Would you agree with that, people? You know, I tell you what, when you speak words, some of those words you can never get back. Have you noticed that? Sometimes you say something and it's like you're running and you're trying to catch the words and you can't catch them because you know the damage is done. And I haven't come here to say I'm the perfect parent, far from it. Because I said to one of my children once many years ago, you are the biggest disappointment of my life. And I tell you people, I know what I'm talking about. I have paid the price for that for a long time. So we have to be very careful as parents what we actually speak to our children. Because I can tell you, even as older people, that we can think back and I tell you, you remember the bad words that were said to you. You remember the things your father said or your mother said or your sister said. Those things that really nearly destroyed your self-worth. Am I right? And so we have to understand as parents that we have to be very careful about what we speak into our children's lives, what we speak into our husband's lives. Because I tell you, our words have power, especially in the family life. See, we need wisdom, would you agree, to speak words that will bring life even when we are correcting or annoyed. Our families need to know their love even though when you are annoyed. And that's not easy to do, is it? It's not easy at all. In 1 Kings chapter 3 in Solomon, son of King David, he loved God. He loved God with all his heart when he was young. And he walked in the truth that his father had taught him. Do you hear that? He walked in the truth that his father had taught him. God was so pleased with Solomon that he asked him what he could give him. He said, Solomon, you can have anything you want. But you know, Solomon, he admits to God that he doesn't know the ropes. He hardly knows the ins and outs of the job of being king, the job that God has given him. But God, this is what I want. We can all feel like that at times, can't we, parents? Pulled every which way, family, church, wife, husband, children, work, finances, extended family. The end becomes endless. But what did Solomon say? Give me a good listening heart, so I can lead your people well, discerning the difference between good and evil. For who on their own is capable of leading your glorious people? A good listening heart. And I've come to tell you people that, you know, we as parents, as family, need a good listening heart. But we need the wisdom of God. We need to be listening to God. We need to have a listening heart towards our husbands, towards our children. But we need very much a listening to heart to what God is saying us. See, our prayer as parents should be, God, give me a good listening heart so my children will call me blessed. In Proverbs 28, it says, her children rise up and call her blessed. Wouldn't it be wonderful that your children rise up and say, you are blessed, Mum. Our prayer should be, God, give me a good listening heart so my husband will say, I'm waiting for this. I got the flowers, but I'm waiting for this part, okay? You want to know this part? Many women have done wonderful things, but you have outclassed them all. Have you got that, David? You have outclassed them all. I'm not going to wait for a comment. Women! There was a man and woman that had been married for a long, long time. And, you know, it was getting near to the end of their time. And there was one thing that really worried this man, because his wife had a box in her room, a special box, quite a big box, a special box. And every time he wouldn't go near the box, she'd say, don't you touch that box. That is my private property. You are not allowed to touch that box. So this day, she hadn't been well, very unwell. So she came out with this box. And the husband said, oh, am I going to see what's in the box? She said, yes, today's the day you're going to see what is in this box. She said, but first of all, I'm going to tell you why I have put what's in the box. Because when I was young, I decided that every time you were nasty to me, every time you put me down, I would crochet a doll. And I would crochet a doll and put the doll in the box. So the man thought, how many dolls are going to be in that box? So she opens up the box, and inside was two crochet dolls and a lot of money. And he looked at it and he said, only two crochet dolls? You only had to crochet two dolls every time I was nasty over all these years? He said, I'm an amazing husband. And he said, but what about all those that money? She said, that's from the ones I sold. Husbands, your prayer should be, give me a good listening heart so I'll reap the blessings and promises of a righteous man and I will leave an amazing legacy for my family. Children, your prayer should be, God, give me a good listening heart so I will obey my parents and have a good life. See, we can relate to Solomon here. We don't know all the ropes. We haven't got a clue. My first child didn't come with any directions. I was still trying to work myself out, let alone work them out. Isn't that true? And I'll tell you, we don't know the ropes of how being the best parent, the best spouse, the best employer, employee, or the best child. But you know what God is saying? He's telling us to ask him to give us a good listening heart and discernment to know the difference between good and evil. If you hear nothing else, parents, if we were parents that asked God to give me a good listening heart, amen, we would see a lot of things turn around in our life. I tell you, this is a prayer that we need to be reminded about, especially on special days like this. See, not every family is excited about Mother's Day. Not every family sees their children today. Not every mother and father wakes up and says, I've done a really great job. I tell you, some parents are looking at empty seats, empty cots because people have died. I tell you, many, many people don't really feel happy about Mother's Day. But I've come to tell you this morning that God has a listening heart towards you. No matter what's gone in your life, what's happened, maybe you don't think you're the best mom or the best dad. I tell you right now, God has a listening heart towards you. And he wants us to have a listening heart. But I tell you what, his heart is listening for your cry right now. And even today, he wants to touch you in a deep way. He wants to show you how much he loves you, how much he's for you. How much he doesn't look at all the mistakes you made. Aren't you glad about that? He just wants to come and say, hey, you're doing a good job. You're doing the best with what you got. But you know what? You join with me, God's saying this morning. You join with me, and I tell you what, together we can turn some of these things around. Isn't that exciting? Together, God can turn some things around. Even things in our lives, even with some of our children, you know, that aren't doing well. I tell you what, we join with him, and he can turn things around. And he wants you to know this morning that he's for you and not against you. I tell you, we need a good listening heart. We need to see the big picture. I tell you, when you're a parent, sometimes you just can't see the big picture. It's hard at times. We need to see God's picture. We need to see the truth of what it's really all about, not what we just think it's all about. Not judging out of our own failures. How many of us as parents, I know as a young parent, I judge my kids out of my own failures. I brought my kids up when they're young out of my own rejection. But praise God, when God came into my life and he took that rejection away, I was able to bring them up in the love of God and not my rejection. And that can be you this morning. You know, God answers Solomon's prayer and he will answer ours. The Bible says to wear wisdom around our neck like a necklace. That's what the Bible says. But often, we just like to ring their little necks, wouldn't we? You know, we can learn a lot from Solomon in the way he handles people and situations. Solomon focused on observations, not conclusions. Solomon focused on descriptions, not judgments. By doing that, we need to know the truth because, you know, we know that when we know the truth, that the lies will be destroyed. Amen? And I want to break some lies here this morning that some of you think, well, how's it all going to work out? Are my children really going to turn around? I've come to tell you the truth this morning, that God has a listening heart towards you, and he is the God, the creator of the whole world, and he will turn things around. See, we'll also have the same results if we work on these principles, come from a listening heart. I believe that we achieve more by speaking words of encouragement and approval than anything else. You know, I've been put down a lot in my life when I was a young child. But I tell you what, I was hit over the head with a strap and all that. That didn't do me any good. I tell you what turned me around, God. People was the love of God. The love of God. And, you know, thinking about mothers today, I think of a woman called Mrs. Summers. Mrs. Summers, when I was 14 years of age, a little Church of Christ lady, she looked at me and, you know, I landed up her at a house. And I tell you what, I don't know what you'd do if I landed up at your house. But I landed up at her house and I tell you what, she just loved me with the love of God. And I'm standing here today because of one mother's heart. We don't just have to be to our own children, but we can mother other people. Amen? You know, I want to encourage you this morning, whatever your situation, God has a listening heart. I want you to go out with that this morning. He knows all about your situation. But he cares about everything you do. And you know what, parents? He's on your side. You know what, teenagers? He's on your side. You know what, young people? He's on your side. You've got to go out with that in your heart this morning. The Bible says husband to love his wife. Wives to honor their husband. You know, I've seen marriages turn around. Maybe on this day you think, I'm a good mother, but man, where's my marriage? I tell you what, you do what God says. Husbands, you love your wife. What does that mean? That means to die for her. Really love her. And wives honor your husband. I've actually seen marriages, many marriages turn around because wives honor their husband. But we need heart, God, we need to ask God for a listening heart to really not just see what we see, the towels on the floor and all that. Never changes, I'm going to tell you anyway. And you're going to think the dishes are going to go back. It's never going to change. Just give over it. But let's just look at our husbands with a listening heart. I can see those flowers going out my door this morning. If we don't do this, it's easy to slip into being harsh and critical with our children. Isn't that true? We can be critical with our spouse. Why is it that we would never talk to other people like that? We wouldn't dare because they'd probably hit us. But we talk to our children like that. We talk to our husbands like that. We talk to our wives like that. People, we need a listening heart to hear from God how he wants us to speak to them. Amen? I tell you, it does nothing but make our spouse lose, value. The value that God has placed within them. You know, to be valued is crucial. That's why we go out to the widows. That's why I walk 6 hours at my age through the huts and all that kind of stuff. Because I just want to give those people value. But it's no point if I'm giving those widows value and I'm not giving my own children and husband value. See, my mother became a shell of a person because of all the abuse and constant criticism. Her life was absolutely destroyed by words that were spoken into her. And people, sometimes we can speak those words, not realizing the damage they're doing. See, I believe as parents, we have a responsibility for God and society to train our children, to discipline them, lovingly correct them when they do wrong. That if we continue to harp and 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 put down and speak words that discourage and dishearten, you'll find before long we can help destroy our child's self-image. It is the truth. I was a product of that. As I said before, as older people, you can still remember those words that went deep into your spirit. You know, the Bible says that nagging is like a dripping tap. Don't you hate dripping taps? It's very important that our children grow up knowing that we love their mother, that we love their father, that we love them, and most of all, that we put God first in our life. We need to pray for our children. We need to encourage our children, amen? We need to pray blessings on our children. You know, we bless people in church, but I believe in blessing out my children. I believe in prophesying into the lives of my children. Amen. Especially into my grandchildren. We need to prophesy the word of God. See, we need to ask God for a heart of wisdom that we can see past what we can see. We can see past their bad grades. We can see past that, but we can actually see the person that God sees. But what my heart this morning is, that I want you to know that God has got a listening heart towards you. No matter where you are this morning, maybe with a big smile thinking, I'm here to celebrate Mother's Day or Father's Day, but you don't know the mistakes I made. You know what God does, but you know what? He cares about you. And it's so much on my spirit this morning that he has a listening heart to you this morning. He just wants you to join his heart with your heart this morning. He wants to encourage you. He wants to show you his love, pour his love on you. You know, you might have got a gift this morning. Many of us got gifts this morning, but you know what? He gave you the biggest gift of ever. He gave you the gift of Jesus Christ. He gave you his son. Amen? He gave you his son so you don't have to carry all that baggage and rejection and all those things with you. He gave you his son so that you can have hope in him. He gave you his son that you can have a listening heart. He gave you his son that you can know hope and future. He gave you his son so that you'll be able to be the parent that God wants you to be. Amen? That he gave you his son, so no matter what happened, all the mistakes, divorce or whatever, doesn't matter. God loves you this morning. He loves you with such a deep love. You have to understand, you know, that love we have for our children. I have such love for my grandchildren. I would die for my grandchildren. But I tell you what, they're worse because actually God gave his son to die for me and you so that we can have hope and future. Amen? And I just want you to know this morning that God says, if you need a listening heart, just asking for it. If you really want to listen and see what God wants to do through you and your family, he just wants to. You know what happens, people in families? It's interesting. Because I have this 80% and 20% principle. Because so often, people throw away. They throw away 80% for the 20%. What do I mean by that? 20% of your marriage doesn't seem good. So we go off with someone else or we throw it away. But we've actually thrown away 80%. Or with our children, 20% doesn't seem right with them, but there's still 80%. People, let's not throw away 80% for the sake of 20%. Because I tell you what, you're not Jesus and it's not going to be 100%. But how many people throw? Well, they walk away from a church. Because 20% of it's wrong. But what about 80%? That is good figures. Is it not? You know, God, you know, I need so much. But you've got 80%. Let's not be victims of the 80%, 20%. Because all of us can see 20% wrong with everybody. It's the truth. But let's not throw away 80%. Most important thing, people, is to know our sense of value. And that is based absolutely only on the fact that God loves you. God loves you. He loves you. Can you hear that this morning? See, the good news is Solomon asked for wisdom and he got it. Amen. And you know what I love about Solomon? His father had mucked up. David had mucked up terribly. Did he not? And then they gave birth to Solomon. And the Bible tells me that God loved Solomon. He loved him. But hang on a moment. He had an affair with a woman. Then that baby died. Then they got married. And you know what? God says he loves Solomon. You know, that does so much for my heart. To think that all the sins that we talk about, the sins of the father going around down to the second and third generation. Well, I've come to tell you the blessings of God go down for 1,000 generations. Amen? And you know, and I think, oh God, I'm so glad that despite my parents, despite this, despite that, you love me. And even that, I'm finished with that. But my father is cruel and everything, the cruelest man you'll ever meet, and that's saying a lot. You know what? After he died, this pastor's wife said to me, I've been thinking about you and your father because I brought him to the Lord 20 minutes before he died. All the rest of the siblings were angry that he was in heaven, but I'm happy. But you know what? She said to me this, and it stuck with me. I don't know why I'm saying this. It's just coming out of my spirit this morning. She said to me, you know what? God loved your father so much. hang on a minute. God loved Jack so much that he gave birth to a pastor out of his loins. So even if you've been hurt by parents, even been hurt by your father, hurt by your mother, hurt by other people, I'm going to tell you, people, we need to know this, that God wants to redeem them. God wants to touch them. He wants to touch them with love. Let us just close our eyes for a moment. If that is you this morning, there's so many different aspects of this morning. I just feel that if you're carrying hurt towards parents this morning, if you're just carrying hurt, I'm not going to ask you to come out. I'm just going to ask you to raise your hands right now. That when I'm speaking about this, you're feeling the hurt and disappointment that you've had in your life. Just lift your hands right now. If that is you this morning, just lift your hands. Just lift your hands. Don't be afraid. Just lift your hands. Because I just want to pray right now. Father, I just pray right now. I break away all those hurts and disappointments of people's lives. And Father, I pray right now that we will not judge those people anymore, Father, but we will know that you want to redeem them. And mostly, maybe you don't know the love of this Father this morning. Maybe you didn't realize this morning that Jesus Christ was given to you as a gift, so you could have not just eternal life, but freedom and hope and future, and to be able to ask for this wisdom. That Jesus loves you so much this morning, no matter what age you are, or whoever you are this morning. He just wants you. He just wants you this morning. And the only present I can give you this morning is the best present you'll ever get, and that is to introduce you to Jesus Christ. And if that is you this morning, and you've never said, Jesus, I didn't understand. I didn't understand how much you loved me. I didn't understand that you died for me, that you didn't understand. I didn't understand, God, that you've made me worthy. No matter what I've done, I am worthy in you. If that is you this morning, just lift your hands right now. Just lift your hand. There's a hand there. Thank you. Or if that's you this morning and you're saying, you know, I've just slipped away from that, that I have actually moved away, that, you know, I need to come and freshly give myself to Jesus Christ this morning, that I'm so under the circumstances this morning that I forgot about the fact that God can give me wisdom. That God can give me wisdom. If you want to, like, just come this morning and say, God, I want to give myself back afresh to you this morning. You raise your hands. You raise your hands this morning. You raise your hands this morning. If those two that placed their hands up, maybe it was just to renew your vows this morning with God. Would you like to come out this morning? I'd just like to pray for you. If you would like to come out, please come. Please come. Okay. You'd like to come out. There's three, actually. You'd like to just come out. Don't be afraid. I just want to pray for you. Just want to pray for you. If you'd all like to stand, that would be great. Make it easier for everybody. Just come over here, sweetheart. Whether you've come for the first time or just to renew, we just want to pray. You know, even when we come afresh back to God again, we need to pray this prayer. Let's pray this prayer together. Would that be wonderful? We pray this prayer together. Isn't it wonderful to see all these young people out here this morning? Amen. Let's just close our eyes and pray. And if you can pray after me, Father God, we just come to you this morning. We thank you for the gift of Jesus Christ. Father, we take and receive this gift right now. Father, we just ask you to forgive us of all our sins. We ask you to redirect our path this morning, that we'll go out of this place having a greater understanding of your love and compassion. Father, that we'll feel like we've had a shower and we feel clean again. Father, thank you for coming into our life. Father, we give complete control to you right now, in Jesus' name. Amen. Father, we just thank you for all these ones here, Father, whether they're renewing their faith in you, or Father, they're coming afresh for you for the first time. Father, I just pray for them right now. Father, I just pray a blessing upon them. Father, I bless them. I bless them with everything, Father. I bless them with your love, your kindness. Father, I just pray your blessing upon them, Lord. You just touch them this morning, Father. Oh, Father, just touch this mum this morning. And, Father, I pray you'll speak deep in her heart, Father. You'll take off that load that I can see upon her, that you'll lift that load from her right now. And, Father, I just pray that you'll touch her deep, deep in her spirit like never before. Father, I take off those harsh words. I take off the harshness of life that has left its scars. I can see it in the spirit, but I can see God smiling at you this morning. You have a beautiful heart, incredible, incredible heart, and God just wants to touch you this morning. He just wants you to know how much you're loved this morning, how much his eyes are towards you. His eyes are against the enemy, but his eyes are towards you. Father, I just thank you for touching her. You know, you're not just a face in the crowd. Father, I just thank you for this gentleman this morning. Father, oh God, just pour your spirit upon him. Oh, Father, give him the courage and the boldness to do what you're asking to do. Give him the courage and boldness, Father, to be led of you, I pray, in Jesus' name. Oh, Father, I thank you for a fresh touch on this life this morning. Oh, God, I just see angels surrounding all around you. You feel like you're on your own. You're out there on this own doing all this. But God says, you have angels around you, that I am with you, I am for you. Oh, God, I can just see things changing in your life right now, as you know that you don't have to do it on your own anymore, but with his wisdom. Father, I just thank you right now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. If you guys, would you just like to go with Pastor Charlie? Just please, if you've made it, just go with Pastor Charlie. Just for 2 minutes, please go with Pastor Charlie. He's there. Charlie, put up your hand so they know where to go, just so that you can get your information. But also, we want to give you a Bible and a brochure about continuing your walk in God. Come on, let's give the Lord a hand this morning. And, let's thank Pastor Lynette this morning for coming on Mother's Day. Awesome. Always love your ministry, Lynette. David, thank you for being such a good man. I think you've just set the bar too high for me. Three bunches of flowers. Why don't we just take our seats for a moment? I'd love to do something this morning. You know, I said earlier that I want to take up an offering for Pastor Lynette and David. As I said, they're itinerant ministers. I love this scripture about, I meant that Andrew and I will do this. Because we love partnering with great ministry. And Lynette's a great minister, so I'm going to fill in an envelope myself. You'll see some envelopes at your chairs there. If you need one, if you want an envelope and you want to bless Lynette and you haven't got one within arm's reach, just put up your hand. One of the ushers will get you one. But let's give this morning to Pastor Lynette, and then we can give again, and we're going to give to the Saris $12, and we can do that too. But it says here, those who have borne witness to your love before the church. We know you love the church. And if you send them forward on their journey in a manner worthy of God, you will do well. I mean, for me, that's enough reason right there. We will do well by blessing another ministry. So come on, let's reach deep. Let's give this morning to Pastor Lynette. I'm going to fill in a form. If you need more time, just to fill in a form, let's just take a moment. Let's sing a song first, and then we'll come back to the offering. Why don't we do that? Let's sing this morning before we close, and then we'll that gives you